Couple hours of open lines for you now on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, by the way, next week, on Wednesday night, I'll be in the Big Apple. So we're going to originate Coast to Coast out of New York. And then on Thursday, May 19th, I'm going to be on The View on ABC's television show. Whoopi Goldberg wants to interview me about the extraterrestrial life and some ghosts. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, as you know, every time we talk to someone like James Von Prague, I always mention ghost and the part she played of channeling in truly an amazing movie, if you haven't seen it, with the late Patrick Swayze, by the way, who just did another superb job in that movie. God rest his soul. But Thursday, we'll be on The View on ABC, so check your local listings, and it'll be a short segment, but should be some fun. Anyway, so I'll be back in a moment. We'll have open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and as you know, a couple times tonight, we'll take your text questions as well. Tom back in the L.A. studios will do that for us. Let's go to the phones. Josh is with us out there in Texas. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning, and hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're here tonight with George Norrie. Now, George, I wanted to ask you a few questions here. Eastern State Penitentiary, what did you guys find? Any good evidence when you went ghost hunting there with Aaron Goodwin and I believe it was the Constantinos?
Let me tell you something, Josh. That penitentiary had some spookiness to it. They had a computer there or some kind of a machine, and they literally picked up spirits of something. I mean, you could actually see something happening there, and it was absolutely bizarre. But I got to tell you, the most fascinating thing that happened there for me was seeing the cell of Al Capone. He was there way before he was the big crime boss on a concealed weapons charge, and they had him in this little cell, and his original furniture was still in there, and it was really weird picturing Capone in there for a year or two doing whatever he was doing. I mean, just very bizarre. I would have gone batty in that place, but that was strange. But in terms of anything ghostly at that penitentiary, didn't really see anything other than when they put up that computer and you could see some kind of ghostly apparition or something on that computer screen. I don't know exactly what that was. Hope that helps you. I'd recommend you go out there, by the way. Teresa's with us in Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hi, Teresa. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to tell you, I think you're doing an excellent job. I actually was trying to get through to your guest, but I couldn't get through. I don't know. When I was younger, my father died when I was 8 years old, and I used to have dreams. Like, I would see, some of them weren't dreams, some of them were, but I would see him, like, the face of an angel, and then the face of Satan next to him. And like a year or so, it scared me, and my mother just told me to pray, and it would go away, and it worked.
What did the face of Satan look like?
It was just this ugly, ugly face. I couldn't even tell you exactly. It was such a long time ago.
Did he have horns?
I think, but I can't really remember. Not totally. I just vividly remember the fear that I felt. And I don't know if that was because I lost my father or I don't know. But probably a year, year and a half after that, I was in my bedroom one night, and I was not asleep, and I was sitting there, and I saw my father, and he looked like an angel, like with a robe, and next to him was my grandfather. And I called my mom upstairs because I was freaking out about it.
Yeah.
And she said, were you dreaming? And I said, no, I was just laying here. And the next morning when I walked down the stairs, my mom was on the phone. My grandfather had died that morning.
Oh, my. my.
So I've seen things off and on through my life.
Has he visited you since?
No, and I've always wondered, you know, because there was some alcoholism in our family. My father died because of it, and when he was drinking, there was some abuse, but, you know, I've tried to go back through my life and try and forgive and let go of things. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk to her, because I was trying to find out anything I could find out, you know, as far as my father goes.
Well, maybe one day they shall all come back to you, Teresa. James is in L.A. Hey, James, go ahead.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Okay, James, thank you.
I just wanted to call and tell you my I have a pretty unique coincidence with Friday the 13th.
What happened?
Well, when I was 14 years old, on October, Friday the 13th, 1989, I fractured my femur, my leg, right?
Ouch, yeah.
Yeah, it was in church and everything. We were doing a physical activity for the youth group. And so that happened, you know, my leg healed and everything. And so time goes by, years pass. And later on in my 20s, I'm on one of my many adventures, which was for 1 year, I drove 18-wheelers all over the state. I lived in the truck and drove all over the state. And on December, Friday the 13th, 2002, I had a backing accident where a car had pulled up behind me, directly behind the truck, and I backed up the truck a little bit and crushed the front of their car a little bit.
It's impossible to see when they're right there, isn't it?
Yeah, but the crazy thing, so two incidents on Friday the 13th, now the 2 years they happened, 1989 to 2002, 13 years.
It's all synchronicity.
Yeah, so on the 2015 July, Friday the 13th for the year 2015, I'm probably going to stay home.
You're not a bad idea. How bad was the crunch when you backed up into them?
Not too bad. It just, it crushed the front grill, and the front bumper, and the hood a little bit. But, everyone was okay.
That's good. It's one of those aggravation bumps, as I call them. Let's go to our first-time caller, Joe. He's out there in South Dennis, Massachusetts. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey there.
Hi. I wanted to ask you about a previous show that I heard many months ago. I'm not sure how long.
Okay.
I just love all the freaky paranormal stuff I hear on this show. And, you know, I'm a big fan of horror movies and stuff like that. I watch them all the time. And, you know, it takes a lot for me to get scared. But I tell you, the way you were describing everything in this show just terrified me. It's the black-eyed children.
Oh, yeah. David Weatherly's book and research. That
oh, yeah. And scary. They would knock on your door and want to come in or something like that.
Uh-huh. Let us in.
I'm just wondering, is there any different or any new information or possibly a future show about it? Or
yeah, we're going to probably do some more shows with David on that. I got to tell you, Joe, the way he described, as you just pointed out, how these children, they would, a huge black eyes. I mean, you couldn't see anything else. And they would come to your door and they just like stare at you. They weren't very tall. They're little kids, you know, two of them, three of them, four of them together in a group. And they want to come into your house. Don't let them in. If they come to your door, don't let them in. And then they, you know, they have this very evil little giggle to themselves. And they're very upset when you don't let them in. And but they can't force their way in. They need you to let them in. Don't do it. It's kind of chilling. I you know what? Well, you wouldn't think that you could get scared from a little kid. But the black-eyed kid story, that was kind of scary. Let's go to Tom, truck driving in Utah, west of the Rockies. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Just had a question for you regarding the last guest that you had on. I've always been a believer in the psychic ability and, you know, paranormal mediums, things of that nature. I've seen a ghost as a child. But my question is, you see a lot of things on the news with, you know, various elements of society, people taking advantage of people, just various groups and people that are weak or going through some things in their life. How is it that you can tell the validity of somebody that's got psychic ability, or if it's somebody that's just trying to use that field to take advantage of weak people. How can you, I guess, tell the authenticity of a psychic?
One of the things I use, Tom, is, you know, they all have to have a living, right? And some people do this full time. So I understand that, and making a fair wage on something, it, to me, is acceptable. But if you've got these people out there, psychics and mediums, and they try to command a ridiculously high fee, you know what? I'm going to charge you $500 a session or something like that. You know, I'd question that. I really would. I would say, you know what? You may be good, but that's pretty high. I think, and I come from the old school where somebody shouldn't charge an arm and a leg for their services. They should be fair to both sides. And that would be my first barometer. That's the first thing I would look at. And then after that, maybe some references from people, maybe test them a little bit. Maybe they can give you some information that only you would know. And that's where you scratch your head and go, how did they do that? But I would do that. But the first thing, Tom, I would look at would be their fee structure. If it's reasonable, that's acceptable to me. If it's high, that's a red flag. Let's go to Greg in Sandusky, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Greg.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I've been a listener for a few years now, and, you know, if you have a lot of great music on here and things of that nature. And a lot of shows are predicated on UFOs, and I know you're a big UFO buff. I was wondering, I've never heard any music from the band UFO on your program.
Well, I guess we could check into that. I think we ran a cut from them a long time ago, but I mean, they're not in the, what we call the regular cycle. But we can look at a couple of those cuts. I know my board op and engineer, Dan Galante, is pretty hip on a lot of these things, and how we select bumper music. I had a list from the beginning when I took over the program 10 years ago. I've added some to it. Dan's added some to it. Tom's added some to it. And that's how it grows. So, you know, some of it's been around a long, long time. But from the band UFO, we'll look into it. That might work. Skype line is open, by the way, for you at George97313. George97313. And, of course, our text message, if you need that phone number to text us a little question, that is 818-298-6521. That is 818-298-6521. Let's go now to Annie in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hello there, Annie. You're a football fan out there?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to say the Packers. I'm sorry, but I'm not originally from here.
Oh, you got to tell me who you picked, though. Who's your uh-huh. favorite team?
I would say the one that San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like them the best. And then Minnesota.
Well, you know what? Don't say that too loudly.
I'm not even going for Detroit, where I'm from.
I love those lines. I'm from Detroit, too, you know.
Are you? I didn't know that, George.
Born and raised.
I'm from near Adrian, Michigan.
Well, I was born right in the city. Then ended up as a kid in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. And,
wow.
Did all that.
Wow, I was married to a man that lived there.
Really?
In Dearborn Heights, uh-huh.
What was his name? Yeah. Maybe I knew the guy.
Lalonde.
Was it David?
No.
Oh, all right.
Albert.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, what's on your mind? What's going on?
Well, you know, I heard somebody talk about the Ouija board, and I had an experience, and I believe that they're true evil. I really do. But some friends of mine, when we were younger, teenagers, you know, but we were both married, 18, 19 years old, we had gone, and this house was boarded up. We went inside this house, and I took some books. And it was really spooky when we got back out in the car. I mean, our hair just rose and everything. Let's get the heck out of here. So we got out of there. A few days later, I went over to another girlfriend's, and we asked whose spirit was on the board. It spelled out a certain name. I'm not going to say what it is. But we had our eyes closed, and her sister read everything that was on the board. About a week or so later, I even asked it, George, when I was going to die. Oh, and it said 33. Well, anyways, About a week or so later, I went and got them books that was in a box at my mom's house. And I took them home and I read it, and it said, to such and such, and from, you know, he was like up in the State Department and all this stuff, and I didn't know that. But here it was his spirit that was on the board. And we didn't even know these people, this house that we went into. I mean, this is awful. But anyways, as years passed by, guess what? I found out I had cancer when I was 33 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How old are you now? You want to tell us?
I'll be 65 on the 17th, but I have cancer again now. But I got to get that taken care of.
You know,
I couldn't pass my pre-op test, so I got to go back down to Milwaukee.
How did you fight it?
A very good hospital, so.
Annie, how did you fight cancer the first time? I'm curious.
I don't know. It was just they didn't even give me chemo or radiation. But, you know, they cut me open 5 different times.
Oh my God.
You know, I was off work from GM for 2 years with 5 surgeries. But once I got over it, you know, I quit my job. But, you know, I really do believe that in some ways it's good, and I wished I would have never asked when I was going to die. But, you know, I had asked that, and then when I got to figuring it out, I was 33 years old when they found cancer in me.
Hey, let me ask you this. When you got to 33, knowing what you had asked the Ouija board, was it always on your mind as you got close to 33 that you might die?
Well, I was trying to figure it out from a certain age to, like, I was 18 when I played the Ouija board. So I was adding the 33 plus 18. That didn't work out, you know, and I never thought about it when I was 33. I never thought about it until later after I got away from working the automotive industry, you know, and pursued other careers.
Well, let me tell you, Annie, you keep fighting the good fight, all right? And you got another battle, but you were victorious the first time, and there's no reason why you can't win it again this time. Dave is in Homeland, California. Welcome to the program, David. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, Dave.
I'm not a superstitious guy, but when I came to work last night, I work security, and every night I come to open up this gate that I have to go in, and for some reason or another, tonight I could not get that lock open, and I cannot figure it out.
And I wonder if it's an omen. For some reason they don't want you in there, or what?
Well, my boss wasn't too happy of the fact that I wasn't inside where I was supposed to be. I told him that this lock will not open. I've been open every night. I work 7 nights a week. And every night I come out here and open up that lock and go in. And tonight it just will not open.
That's strange. And it's a key lock, that kind?
No, it's a combination lock.
Combination lock. That's weird.
Yeah, well, it just will not open for nothing.
Are you out there now?
I'm out here now. I'm outside the gate. I go out there every once in a while and try to do it again. It just will not open.
I wonder, isn't this weird? Listen to this possible theory. Some robbers are in there, and they broke the original one off. That's easy to do. And they put this one on to trick you. That's very possible. Hey, I'm coming back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Take a look at our television program, Beyond Belief. I'm going to give you a website in just a second. It's a program, of course, that deals with the very strange and unusual, and you can watch it for 10 days free by going to www.beyondbelief.com and sign up for it, beyondbelief.com. And don't forget the prayer list, by the way, on Fridays. Everybody just take a little moment of your day and just concentrate on a list of names of people, of course, who have afflictions and things like that. It does work. Let's go to the phones again. John in Spring City, Tennessee. You're on Coast to Coast, John. Hello there.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I'm almost 60 years old, and your guest touched on a lot of things that had gone on in my life since I was like 12 or younger. And I've been able to feel other people's emotions like an empath, you know, most of my life. I had done tarot cards for 20 or 30 years. The only time I did them around here, I scared off two people because I was just totally accurate from a cold, dead read. You know, they didn't give me any information or anything.
Right. They heard that and off they went, huh?
Yeah, it scared them. And so, you know, I've just had a lot of experience with a lot of weird different things. Most of it negative, some of it positive. And I was really interested on her insights on that, and I kind of appreciated that. Oddly enough, most of what I used to do here, I can't do. I haven't been able to do since I had this medical trauma thing about 5 years ago. It ended 5 years ago. And
why would that be? What happened?
Well, 10 years before that, I got involved with a woman up in Rochester, New York, who was supposed to be a witch. And when we got together, everything she tried to do kind of had a backfiring effect on her. When she tried to increase her income, the money came from getting overpaid instead of what she actually did.
Right.
And they found
always consequences. Always,
you know,
consequences.
And so she had to pay it back.
Sure.
And now she's managed to get to the high priestess level in Los Angeles. But, you know, I keep asking her, well, what about the meditation part? What about doing magic without doing harm? You know, things like that. And she doesn't really answer that part.
So you keep in touch with her still?
Well, I got to. We have a child.
Oh, you do?
She won't let me talk directly to the child.
Oh, man.
Of course, I was very bitter about the way things led up, you know.
How old is the child?
Huh?
How old's the child?
He's 10 now, and he'll be 11 on December 31st.
So she's in L.A. She's still a witch in a coven, probably, and you can't see the 10-year-old. What a mess.
Yes, and she won't let me talk to him. Last communication I had from him, he had to sneak with her phone and sent me just a short one-word message like, hi, you know.
It sounds like, John, I got to tell you, it sounds like you have to go back into the courts if you're going to have any rights of visitation at all. I mean, you have to do that. She's obviously not going to do it on her own. Let me take a text from Tom. What do you have for us back there, Tom?
I like this one because it's so logical. John in Cleveland says, hey, George, I think I believe in Bigfoot, but they can catch lions and tigers, so I wonder why it's not just another animal that we can catch. I don't get it.
Well, is he asking me if it's an animal?
Yeah, no, he's asking you, why is it that we can catch lions and tigers and put them in zoos, but if there's a Bigfoot running out there, we can't catch it?
Because he's smart. Simple as that.
Because he has brains?
Well, animals have brains too, but I mean, I think Bigfoot is very, very intelligent, and it's hiding.
Yeah, but there's lions hide in the forest too.
Yeah, I know that, but we capture them. We outthink them sometimes.
The guy's got some logic here.
Yep.
Okay.
All righty, let's go to Nicholas in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Nicholas.
How you doing, George? Okay. I just want to let you know you're doing a good job on the show. I follow the show every night. Okay. I'm well into the whole ancient alien and UFO theories. I really enjoy it.
Well, speaking of that, by the way, they just called us. We're going to do year 6. So we'll be taping that sometime this year, and you'll be able to see that one coming up.
Okay. Sounds good.
So what's going on?
Oh, I'm just listening. I'm just sitting in the car listening to the these paranormal stories.
Nice friendly little call.
Paranormal.
All right. Well, thanks, Nick. Appreciate you calling, and keep listening. Let's go to Conroy, Texas. Mike's there. Hey, Mike, you're on Open Lines on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hey, George, it's Conroy.
Conroy. Okay.
Hello?
How do you spell it?
Oh, C-O-N-R-O-E.
Ah, okay. Great.
So, hang on. Let me see if I can fix this phone to where it sounds a little better. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're a little muddy, but I can hear you.
Okay, you were breaking up on my end. I study history. I have letters, and I basically study American history, and specifically the Civil War. But when I was much younger, I was, for some reason, looking up something on the Templar Knights. And the lady said she couldn't find anything that associated Friday the 13th with bad luck. And what I read, and this, I was much younger, but this always stuck with me because I was born on a Friday the 13th. And I think 13 is a jinxy number for me. But it said that the Pope, you know, the Templars were like the Pope's secret army.
Yes.
And they got too powerful and he ordered their destruction. And the night that they were all slaughtered was a Friday the 13th.
You are absolutely right. I think it was Charlemagne who also did that.
What's that, sir?
I think it was a Charlemagne. Was that a king? Who was that? Who had them wiped out?
No, it was the Pope. I can't remember the name of the Pope, but it was a Pope, and then it was in the 14th century, you know, like 1375, 1350, somewhere around there.
And you're right. It was a Friday the 13th, which is what created all
of this. And that is supposedly where the jinx comes from on Friday the 13th. That's something I came across. Like I said, I'm not an expert on the Templars. I'm more on the Civil War. But I do have this phobia about the 13th, even though I was born on it. And that piece of information has always stuck with me because I have the phobia. And I was interested in the Templars for just a little while. You know, I wanted to get the basics of them. And I remember reading that that was where the jinx comes from, is the Templars were killed on the Friday the 13th.
Good work there.
And something kind of funny, I hear people call and say they have a hard time getting through to you. And I picked up on your show about 2 years ago, 2 years, 3 months ago, 2 years and 3 months ago. And I've called six or seven times, and every time I call, I get through it.
Well, let me tell you, we've added about five more lines. So I think that's helped a lot of people to get through. We've added most of them to the wild card line. Always had first time, east, west, and international, but we expanded our wild card lines. And so I think that has helped people a lot. Let's go to Joan in Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hello, Joni.
Hi. I'm a little bit nervous, but I'll do okay, I think.
You'll do fine.
Talking to you. I worked as a registered nurse before I became disabled, and about 13 years ago, I took care of this beautiful Native American woman named Josephine, who died very unexpectedly while she was under our care, and it bothered me a lot. But about 2 months later, around Christmas time, I was laying in my bedroom, and these three beautiful golden globes floated down from a corner in the ceiling. And I knew immediately that it was Josephine. And I was overwhelmed with this knowledge that I was supposed to let her mother, who she had moved back in with, I was supposed to let her mother know that she was in heaven and that she was, and that it was beautiful and that all was well. But I had no idea how, I'd only met her mother one time, very briefly, had no idea where she lived or how to get a hold of her. And I was so perplexed by it that I even talked to people that I worked with about whether I should try to look her up in the chart, in the old chart, or what. But I did not act on it, still just wondered about it. And I was in the grocery store about a week later, and lo and behold, her mother was in line behind me. And I said, I know that you probably don't know me, but can I talk to you? And we stepped out into the parking lot, and I told her what had happened, and she did not remember me or know me from the hospital, but she said, you know, my people believe in things like this, though, and I'm taking care of her children now, and so now I can go home and tell her children that she's in heaven and that she's fine.
How about that? See how it works? Synchronicity, Joan.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a beautiful experience overall, really.
What did that do to your belief system, if anything?
It, well, you know, when I have times I still have doubts, I'm disabled now and stuff, but I think back on that and it's like, there's got to be something, you know, there's got to be something looking out for us.
It's no question about it.
So, yeah, and that there, and the connection that we made was so brief. One day while I was taking care of her, I had to spend the whole day in her hospital room. She was in isolation, and she talked about her mother a lot during that day. And just the connection that she and I made, very, you know, we only knew each other for a moment, really, in this life, and but a very profound connection.
And you did well. You're not nervous now, are you?
No.
See? All right, Joan. Thanks
for
the
call. All right,
thank you. Appreciate it. Next up, Steve's a first-time caller, Sacramento, California. Hey, Steven, welcome.
Hey, George, can you hear me?
I sure can. Yep.
George?
I think I can. Go ahead. No, I guess you can't hear me, but I can hear you. Angie in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Angie, go ahead.
Yes, hi, George. I'm sorry I missed your previous caller, the lady from Massachusetts. I just wanted to talk about one thing, if I could, real quick.
Yeah.
I had a daughter who died about 5 days shy of her 24th birthday. She was killed in a fluke accident where she was a belted passenger. It was not a good thing. It was an acceleration issue with the car.
Yeah.
And it was very, very heartbreaking. She was a child that had been born. She learned how to read before she was 17 months old. She was just like an old soul.
Yeah.
Anyway, one thing that she had wanted more than anything else in her life was for our family to not be at odds and to be together. And I would say about 6 months to a year after her passing, it's kind of like that kind of came to fruition. And I often wonder, I had never wondered this before because I had never suffered that kind of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
If that's possible, that a soul can pass but still have great effect on people.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. You know, they have this magic touch about themselves, and they're able to do these incredible things and influence it. You know, and I've heard time and time again how these entities have been able to help people and do things. I mean, it's truly miraculous.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for your program because you have such a good healing touch on the world.
Well, we got to do it. We're at one of those trying times right now. So we'll keep it up. Angie, thanks for the call. Sorry for your loss, but I'm convinced she helped patch the family back up. That's for sure. Let's go to Ian, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hello there, Ian. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to tell my story. It's a Friday the 13th story. Happened about 10 years ago.
Okay.
My friends and I, we went to this old insane asylum. It's called Dixmont. It's torn down now, but it was there. It was mainly through the 60s and 70s when it worked, but then it shut down sometime in the 80s and 90s. But so we went to this place, right, and we're expecting some kind of experience, whatnot. We brought a camera with us, had to walk up a huge hill about a mile in almost.
Yeah.
Complete dark. It's raining outside. It's pretty scary stuff. And we're walking around. We go in some rooms. It's pretty beat up, and we end up in this one sort of outdoor hallway where one side is like rooms for offices, and then on your other side there's a whole another section which are those rooms that they put like insane people in so they don't hurt themselves, like those big padded rooms.
Those padded rooms, sure.
Yeah, and those are all abandoned, right? You could like see through them. It was pretty torn up, and we're all sitting here between these hallways, and we're just looking around. All of a sudden we hear a door slam, right? It's probably about 40 feet behind us, and we're kind of getting spooked out, and then we hear another one a couple seconds later, and then another one a second later, and then these doors, they start coming up, and we start freaking out, right? So we start running, booking it, and I'm the fastest runner. I was way ahead of everyone, and literally those doors slammed faster than anything I could imagine a human being doing. Like, it went from like 0 to 30 or 40 miles per hour within like a couple of seconds. And it freaked us out so much that whenever we came back, we went to Eaton Park afterwards to check out the footage. Now, we did see some shadow movements, whatever, nothing too big. But then we noticed in some of the footage, there was this old, creepy 1930s, like, swing music playing in the background, which obviously wasn't playing when we were there. So that totally freaked us out. And then later on, we heard that they were going to tear the place down to build a Walmart. Well, go figure, they have problems doing the engineering, getting it all set up. And then whenever they finally tear it down and build whatever they're going to build on it, we check to see if we can see the footage again. And the footage is all gone. There's nothing there, as if we never went.
No record at all.
No record. I mean, completely dissipated once that place was torn down. And we definitely witnessed it at Eaton Park. Just the freakiest, scariest thing.
And I'm also wondering, since the store was built on the land, if anything bizarre has been happening there since. You might want to go and check that out for us. And, lots of haunted places all over the place. Time for maybe one more quick one before the top of the hour break. Kurt in Virginia. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome, sir.
Got a quick Friday the 13th story.
Okay. Love to hear it.
My grandfather was born on Friday the 13th. Died on a Friday the 13th, which happened to be 13 months after the last birthday that fell on a Friday the 13th.
Jeez. That was not his lucky number, was it?
No, and strange enough, I was born on the 13th. It wasn't a Friday, and 13th has been kind of my lucky number.
That's good. Well, you know what? It's just a process of feeling positive about something. You go into it, if you feel bad about it, you feel negative about it, it's just not going to happen. Time and time again, I've seen people who pull these clouds over their heads, and guess what? It happens. It rains on their heads, basically. You can't do that. We're going to take a break in just a moment, come back with another hour to go of open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM. Let me give you my email address. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, by the way. We hit another milestone on our Facebook likes, and just keep pushing us over the top. We will be back.